KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's mostly cloudy, 33 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be cloudy this morning with a chance of light snow or sleet and gradually becoming mostly sunny, a high near 37 before the temperatures fall back into the 20s. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, with hardware serving you for the best hardware for over the past 70 years. And in the news this morning, an Atlantic man is in custody after allegedly attempting to rob the Casey's East convenience store last night. Authorities say at around 8:50 p.m., Atlantic police responded to a report of an armed robbery in progress at 1408 East 7th Street, or the Casey's General Store. Officials say a man identified as 22-year-old Brady Thomas Salberg of Atlantic had entered the store and demanded all the money in the cash register. An off-duty Iowa DCI agent noticed the incident unfolding and notified people in the parking lot not to enter the store and to call 911. As the call was going out to officers, the agent entered the store with her firearm and confronted the suspect while commanding him to drop to the floor. The suspect complied and was on the ground when uniformed officers arrived moments later. An investigation revealed Thomas did not actually have a firearm in his possession, but had his hand in his pocket to make it appear like he was armed. Thomas was brought to the Cass County Jail and charged with felony robbery in the second degree. News time is 8:01.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
The Audubon Police Department yesterday released a list of arrests that had occurred since January 1st. Most recently, officials say last Friday, 36-year-old Christopher John Grogan of Audubon was arrested for driving while barred. Grogan was later released on a promise to appear in court. And on the 23rd, 32-year-old Scott Eugene Kruger of Audubon was arrested for domestic abuse assault. Kruger was held to be seen by a magistrate. And on January 1st, officers with the Audubon Police Department arrested 35-year-old Richard Dean Beamer of Audubon for interference with a city official. He was later released on a promise to appear in court. A large boulder painted with a patriotic theme by Adair County artist Ray Bubba Sorensen II of Greenfield will be found in Pottawatomie County in the city of Oakland, thanks to the effort of a local coffee clutch. The Daily Nonpareil reports a Freedom Rock for Pott County was approved by the mayor and city council after the Oakland Coffee Ladies, a six-member group, approached Mayor Michael O'Brien about bringing the rock to Oakland. LaDonna Applegate, a member of the Oakland Friday Coffee Ladies, said the rock will be placed in the spring near Chautauqua Park. The rock is part of a statewide program that places a patriotic rock in each Iowa county. It'll serve as a marker to attract tourists and to honor Southwest Iowa veterans. The original Freedom Rock, located just south of Interstate 80 on Highway 25 in Adair County, attracts about 14,000 people each year. Sorensen paints a different theme on it every year during the late spring or summer. The rock in Oakland is a pink granite and will be highly visible for drivers because of U.S. Highway 6 and 59 that pass through the town. The city paid $1,000 in fees to obtain the rock for Pottawatomie County. A pitching clinic sponsored by the Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund brought Carlo Walton to the Atlantic Middle School each Sunday this past month. Walton, a former basketball player for Iowa State University and Washburn University, also played 3 years as a catcher in the minor leagues for the L.A. Dodgers. Melanie Puttiapetti, a fund representative, said this particular clinic was aimed at third grade through high school age boys interested in pitching. She said their goal was to give back in ways that represents Trevor's interests. And Trevor was a pitcher, so this was a perfect opportunity for the fund. To date, the Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund has donated over $75,000 to a variety of area projects and organizations. Their annual fundraiser, the T. Fred Memorial Golf Tournament, will take place August 9th at Atlantic's Nishna Hills Golf Club. And for more information, just click like on the Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund on Facebook. Elsewhere in the news, federal regulators have approved a small change in a Nebraska nuclear plant's flood preparations. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission license change issued Wednesday should ensure the Fort Calhoun nuclear plant shuts down soon enough to be protected in a flood. NRC spokeswoman Laura Olseding said the change reflects an issue identified before the 2011 Missouri River flooding, and it will make Fort Calhoun's flood plan more conservative. The nuclear power plant in Omaha Public Power District owns, will now shut down whenever the river rises to 1,004 feet above sea level. Previously, the plan didn't require a shutdown until the water reached 1,009 feet above sea level. In 2011, floodwaters reached 1,006 feet above sea level and surrounded the nuclear plant, which was already shut down for maintenance. Barriers protected the plant's core. A manslaughter trial has been delayed again for a former Des Moines doctor accused of improperly prescribing painkillers to patients. The Des Moines Register reports that the trial of Dr. Daniel Baldy has been pushed back to April 4th at the request of the prosecution. It had been scheduled for February 3rd, 2 months later than the original trial date of December 2nd. Prosecutors say Baldy prescribed large amounts of narcotic painkillers to patients, including Paul Gray, founder of the band Slipknot, who died in 2010. Baldy is charged with 10 counts of involuntary manslaughter. His lawyers say his patients either took more of their medications than prescribed or took other drugs along with them. State records say a mentally disabled woman overheated and died inside of a Marion group home that had been heat-treated for bedbugs. The Des Moines Register says 61-year-old Rhonda Skoog died at the 29th Street Crest group home. She was found dead the morning of August 30th last year, a day after superheated air was blown into the home, raising the temperature to at least 125 degrees. State records say home staffers were undertrained and unaware that Skoog's diagnosed sensitivity to heat was aggravated by two of her medications. Regulators fined the home $10,000. The facility is managed by Crest Services of Des Moines. Director Jan Caldwell said the incident was unfortunate and, quote, "we've done everything we can to make sure it never happens again." Advocates for an increase in the state gas tax flooded the state house Wednesday just as a bill cleared a House subcommittee that would raise the gas tax by a dime over the next 3 years. Representative Josh Burns, a Republican from Osage, was among the five House subcommittee members who voted for it. Governor Terry Branstad has consistently said that he will not veto a gas tax if it clears the legislature, and he spoke at a Transportation Day rally at the State House.
We need to continue to consider a number of options and discuss the merits and potential challenges associated with each of them. I've been around long enough to know it's not an easy task.
Ralph Arthur, chairman of the Iowa Motor Truck Association's board of directors, says the reality is Iowa's crumbling transportation system makes it harder to attract new business to the state.
Iowa is the third highest in structural deficiency on their bridges in the country. Only 12 states have worse rural interstates than we do, and only 7 states have worse urban interstates than we do.
Larry Winham, a banker from Glenwood, said it's time to raise the gas tax because, quote, "there's nothing else to cut in the state, county, and city transportation budgets."
Bankers, we don't like to talk about a tax increase, but we like to look at this as an investment. It's a user fee. It's something that we need. And quite honestly, it has a lot to do with economic development.
And Winham is chairman of the Mills County Economic Development Foundation and co-chairman of the Southwest Iowa Coalition Transportation Committee. City and county officials say they're struggling to maintain roads and bridges and have raised local property taxes to fix roads because gas tax revenue is falling short. Terry Cox is the city manager, the public works director, and the city engineer in Harlan, and he made the trek to the State House to show his support of the gas tax increase as well.
I just want to support you guys here. It's a tough nut to crack, but I think you're going to get it done.
And in a transportation-related move, Iowa's Republican governor has appointed former Congressman Leonard Boswell to the Iowa Transportation Commission. Boswell, a Democrat, lost his 2012 bid for re-election to the U.S. House. State boards and commissions are, by law, to be balanced by political affiliation. Boswell replaces a Democrat from Oskaloosa who resigned from the Transportation Commission due to a business-related conflict of interest. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, fire officials in Greenville, Kentucky say as many as 9 people may be dead in a house fire. Officials say the blaze broke out around 2 this morning, local time. 11 people lived in the home and 2 people were flown to a hospital for treatment. Greenville is in the western part of the state. The latest economic numbers are an encouraging sign for 2014. The U.S. economy grew at a 3.2% annual rate in the final quarter of the year on the strength of the strongest consumer spending in 3 years. The Commerce Department says that for 2013 as a whole, the economy grew at a tepid 1.8%. Growth was held back last year by higher federal taxes and by government spending cuts. Many economists think the growth could top 3% this year. President Obama will use a tour of a General Electric facility near Milwaukee today to focus on job training for in-demand positions. For many years, the GE plant has relied on a regional program to train its workers. Before returning to the White House, Obama also speaks at a high school in Nashville, Tennessee. KJAN News Time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in our funeral announcements this morning, Dwayne Partlow, age 90, of Stewart, died Monday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Dwayne Partlow will be this morning at 10:30 at the Fairview Congregational Church in rural Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Myrna Nelson, age 76, of Shelby, died Sunday in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Myrna Nelson will be today at 10:30 at the United Lutheran Church in Shelby. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby has arrangements. Dorothy Betts, age 89, of Audubon, died Saturday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Dorothy Betts will be today at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon, with the Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. Paul Testrode, age 73, of Carroll, died Monday at St. Anthony Hospital in Carroll. A massive Christian burial service for Paul Testrode will be today at 10:30 at Holy Spirit Church in Carroll. Odie Twitt Funeral Home of Carroll has arrangements. Mary Carney, age 81, of Audubon, died Saturday at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Mary Carney will be this afternoon at 1:30 at the Anita Community Center. Hockenberry, England Funeral Home of Audubon is in charge of the arrangements. Leslie Lucky Osborne, age 70, of Atlantic, died Friday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Lucky Osborne will be today at 1:30 at the First Church of Christ in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Otis Blakely, 100-year-old from longtime resident Lewis, died Monday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Otis Blakely will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Lewis United Congregational Methodist Church. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Marlon Fredrickson, age 77, of Atlantic, died Monday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services for Marlon Fredrickson will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Elaine Adams, age 63, of Casey, died Monday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. A gathering of family and friends to celebrate and remember Elaine Adams will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Casey United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Irma Bickford, age 106, of Greenfield, died Sunday at her home. Funeral services for Irma Bickford will be Friday at 1:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield has arrangements. Mike Lead, age 69, of Anita, died Wednesday at Bergen Mercy Hospital in Omaha. Memorial services for Mike Lead will be Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Anita United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Carl Martin, age 93, of Walnut, died Tuesday at his home. A massive Christian burial service for Carl Martin will be Saturday at 10 a.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Doris Peterson, age 83, of Kingsley, died Monday at the Kingsley Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Doris Peterson will be Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Abundant Life Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Verda Julesgaard, age 95, of Elkhorn, died Tuesday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Verda Julesgaard will be Saturday at 10:30 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Helena Hahn, age 94, of Greenfield, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Helena Hahn will be this Saturday at 10:30 at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Nadine Holtz, age 83, of Avoca, died Wednesday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Funeral services for Nadine Amelia Holtz will be Saturday at 1:30 at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Jeanette Smith, age 76, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House. A funeral mass for Jeanette Smith will be Monday at 10 o'clock at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home has the arrangements. And Betty Duvall Ninehouse, age 89, of Audubon, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Betty Ninehouse are pending at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. The news and funeral announcements brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.